All right, we're on. And yeah, just for the record, guys, Kelvin's late. And I want the whole world to know that. He's trying to set up here.
He's not late. He's on Filipino time.
He's on Filipino time. Good point. But yo, welcome to the Title Zone podcast, the number one podcast for Filipinos who want to make an impact. I'm Nyx, a.k.a. Chubby Mamba, a.k.a. that dude your girlfriend told you not to worry about. Beside me, my co-host.
Yeah, my name is Kelvin. I am not late, a.k.a. the Kelvinator, a.k.a. soon to be your mom's favorite podcaster. Let's go. I'm interested in this episode today. You told me this guy is big when it comes to the marketing world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just to share, so the company I work with, in a way, you need to learn a bit about marketing. And to start, I really don't have any idea, or at least I have like 10% knowledge. So, yeah, I want to learn today. Yeah.
He's going to
absorb I'm the idiot guy today.
Same. Yeah. Same.
All right, but let me just, you know, introduce to you guys our very special guest. Actually, he was not supposed to be here because he was supposed to fly out today, but, you know, we pulled some strings and he's right here. This guy is known as a savage marketer. That's why I'm wearing my savage Reptar shirt. Ooh. Let's give it up. Jeff J. Hunter, welcome to the show.
And you know what? I'm so proud that you wore that savage shirt and I got something that'll match you.
All right. All right. I'm excited. Yo. All right. All right. Let me replace. So I now just got a savage marketer cap. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You got a big head though. You're going to have to adjust that.
Yeah. This is a very big head. That's what she said. Hang on.
Oh, that's what she said.
All right. There we go.
Oh, you
there
are
we
savage.
Go. There we go. Nice. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. All right. There. We're back. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming. I know you had a very eventful week with the Philippine Blockchain Week, and it's just packed. And yeah, thank you for making it out here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. I love supporting people doing big things. And, you know, I'm a resident here in the Philippines, so, you know, you can call me the foreign noy.
I like foreign that.
Noy. Yeah, aka the one your mom's always talking about.
All right, now we're talking. Well, yeah, no, so this is gonna be great. We have a lot to unpack today, but yeah, for those who's like just hearing you for the first time, man, like, can you share more about what Jeff J. Hunter is all about?
Wow. Well, I mean, I used to be a Fortune 500 project manager. I'm American, obviously. Aco Americano. Mm-hmm. I tried. You know, for me, I've been working here in the Philippines off and on since 2014 and started a virtual assistant company here where I teach call center agents. I get nicknamed the call center savior because I'm saving people from those 6 days, you know, 10-hour work days, and showing them how to work from home in their pajamas and make 2-3 times more than the call center. And it's interesting because now that mission's kind of like ramped up now, especially with AI. Yeah, call center agents are in trouble, guys. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I really wanted to come on the show and why I moved my flight to tomorrow, is because I really wanted to, especially with your success. Congratulations, guys.
Like, thank you.
Dude, awesome. But I don't think a lot of people realize like what is coming when it comes to the world of AI and how it's going to negatively and positively impact jobs in the Philippines. So.
A lot of people are scared. Like I see a lot of, you know, you could say that some of these posts are like, oh, they're just trying to fear monger. But I think it's real. Like, I think AI will really start. Actually, we're seeing it start really taking away jobs from people. Yeah. And how do you see it from like a call center? Like, I want to go back into that. Like, call centers are in deep trouble. Like, what are they facing now with the AI boom?
What really blew my mind and why I made such a huge like leap into this, you know, kind of like, you know, I don't want to be like the sky is falling, but, you know, the Chicken Little story. I don't know if you guys know about Chicken Little here in the Philippines, but that's what we call it in America, Chicken Little. What's crazy is that, like, I've been hired. I do marketing for a lot of companies, and one of the clients of mine based in Singapore, he has a software that is a call center software, and the price, guys, for American companies is ridiculously cheap because it's like $5,000 to set up and get the voice of your AI dialed in so good that it sounds like a human, right? because it's using like human samples. Like if you ever heard on TikTok, like the number one song for like 2 days in a row was an AI fake Drake song, you know? And like, it's that good now, right? So $5,000 to get like the voice and everything dialed in. And then here's the scary part, about $3,500 US a month, but it can do 2,500 calls a minute. I mean, that literally, you want to talk about a cost savings and, you know, a staff savings, overhead savings, like everyone's going to look at that and be like, even me saying this on the podcast, I guarantee you there's going to be people like, yo, I heard you on the podcast. Can you hook me up with your, you know, like, there's people that are going to say that. I know, because every time I say it, like I have people like, oh, dude, hook me up with this guy that's got the software. So like that's coming. And right now the Philippines has 1.3 million call center agents in the BPO industry. It's 13.1% of the Philippine economy in total. It's the largest sector in the Philippines. So I think that, you know, and already the inflation monetary problem you guys have here. I mean, the Philippine peso is probably one of the worst in the in the developed world. You know, you guys are definitely a developed country. I hate when people say, oh, yeah, like you're in a developing country. It's like, no, the Philippines, to me, the Philippines is the most Western country in the East.
Facts. Know? I agree. I agree. Yeah, so wild. So I'm scared. We'll go deeper into this, but like before we kind of move forward, if I'm a call center owner, like I own call centers, like, and there are a lot here in the Philippines, because I believe Philippines is maybe second to India globally.
No, I think they're number one.
Oh, number one now.
I mean, India is kind of like, because culturally, America, you know, a lot of Western countries, Australia, America, UK, you know, like they understand like the Filipino culture and the accent, you know, like, like even you guys, like, it's like, dude, you guys speak better English than people I know in America. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a call center owner, you know, and like that, this is your livelihood, or your call center agent, like you have to start thinking like, okay, well, what's next? Or you have to think about, okay, well, how can I start getting ahead and using these AI tools and offer it to companies? And I still think right now the best model moving forward is going to be a hybrid where you have a human operator who's utilizing the AI. You know, that's what I did. I went all in on my team in the Philippines here. I have over 100 people here. And what I've been doing is, you know, because virtual assistants are also at risk because the AI can do so much, you know, like especially if you're a copywriter. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Scary. Like,
for me, that's one of the things the Filipinos are really good at English, but it's that Filipino English. It's that Taglish.
Yeah, right? Taglish.
And so, like, you can tell if you, like, hire a Filipino copywriter to do things for you, like, it's going to sound Taglish, but not with ChatGPT anymore, not with Claude, not with these other tools. I mean, Llama just released Meta AI. I don't know if you know this, but today, the day that we're recording this right now.
All right, September 30.
This is the drop. Today, if you go, and most people don't even know this, you got your phone on you?
Yeah, let's see.
Watch this. You can go into a Facebook chat right now.
Facebook chat?
Go to Facebook chat. Go to message me on Facebook.
Okay. I'm trying to message you.
All right. I'm going to tell everybody who's listening here what's about to happen. You're in the chat with me right now?
Yeah. Jeff Hunter. Yeah.
All right. Start typing this. Get ready and hit the at symbol like you're going to tag
somebody. At symbol. Okay.
And there should be something that pops up that says Meta AI. Does it pop up?
Oh, shoot. No, it still doesn't. Maybe they're not rolling out like in the Philippines yet.
It rolls out. It's rolling out. I will definitely. I don't even know where I put my phone. Oh, she.
Let's see. Oh, let me try to message. Like, maybe it's in your account. Like you're. No, they always give US accounts.
Well,
like,
they do. They first do hook dibs. Me up. Yeah, that's true. They do roll out the things in USA. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. But still, it's here
I'm
now.
I'm about to roll this out to you right here.
Okay, let's see.
Look here. Here's my phone.
All right, let
just
me
hit the at symbol.
At sign. Oh shoot, Meta AI. We'll zoom this in. Let's see. Can I click it?
Yeah, click on it. So now it's gonna tag it.
It tagged it. Should I enter it?
Say something like, I wanna be on this podcast today. What should I talk about?
What should I talk about?
On a podcast.
Yeah. Today in a podcast.
Yeah.
Let's see. I just asked Meta AI. Oh shoot, it's typing. It's typing.
Yeah.
Oh, in like less than 2 seconds, it says, how about discussing the impact of social media on mental health and well-being? It's a relevant and relatable topic that resonates with many people. You can explore the positive and negative effects and offer actionable tips for maintaining a healthy relationship with social media platforms. What do you think? Would you like me to provide more information?
Bingo.
Let's say yes. Provide more.
Now, you have to hit the reply button to it.
Oh, okay.
So you hold down the message, hit reply, and then go to it.
More. Oh, shoot, it's just typing. Like, it's just... This is wild.
By the way, you guys are getting it first. Everyone who's listening to this right now, this is first, okay? Because now I've been working with Facebook for quite a while. I was featured in their 2017 wrap-up video for when they rolled out Facebook groups, guys. That's how old school I am. Right? Facebook groups, like that was a new thing, you know?
Right, right.
So back to your question about like what's going on with AI, like everyone's going to be leveraging AI. So right now, my idea is, well, look, instead of being replaced by AI, why don't we equip ourselves with the tools to use AI so we can future-proof our careers? And so that we can actually, you know, be out front of what's coming, because, you know, the adoption rate is still really low. How many people are actually using AI is really low. And the crazy part is the people using AI for work, even lower. So most people that have used AI right now, they're just like messing around, you know, there's like, you know, or they're students doing homework.
Yeah. Solve this math equation for me, ChatGPT. Yeah,
yesterday, I tried to generate duck size horse image. Because yesterday is like a national Ask a Stupid Question Day. So yeah, I asked the company I'm working with, either you would you fight 100 duck size horse or one horse size duck? So yeah, just to give a image of what it looks like, I use AI to generate. So you're right that most of the time I use it just for fun and for random things and not for work, really.
Well, it was kind of for work a little bit, right?
Yeah, a bit. It was a good question, though. You know, in my mind, I'm envisioning what 100 duck-sized horses look like. But I'm thinking the horse-sized duck is going to be dangerous. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been chased by a duck, but in America, we have Canadian geese.
Yeah.
Oh my God! If you've ever,
are they wild?
They're evil. They are evil. They will attack your ass. Nah, man. I'm sticking with the 100 tiny horses.
Sorry. I just have to put this out there. He's actually, I know, are you still afraid of like chickens?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So he's afraid like when chickens are running around, he's like, he can't handle it.
They're kind of rude to you, you know, like those chickens, they got sharp little claws. Those beaks are pretty sharp. When my son, he was 11 now, but when he was 2 years old, we had 4 chickens in the backyard. And, you know, that's something the Filipinos can relate to.
I had four
chickens. Every morning, if I every time you're on a Zoom call with a team.
I guess that's something AI can't replace yet. Maybe they could.
You know, we don't know. We won't know.
Yeah, when my son was 2 years old, a chicken just went rogue and jumped on top of his head. And he was so freaked out. And I felt bad because I knew he was getting kind of scratched up. But at the same time, I was laughing so hard. I'm a bad dad. It's just that.
Sorry, I just want to get back with your background, the company that you're currently running and marketing a lot of other companies. Any moment in particular where you decided this is what you want to pursue?
Well, first off, I think Americans in general, especially those who haven't traveled, they don't know how good their life is. It's like waking up every day in America is like winning the lottery every day. And you know, poor in America versus poor in the Philippines is so different. Poor in America is like a flat screen TV, an air conditioner, refrigerator. Maybe you're sharing a car because you're broke. You know, it's not like here where like nobody has a car. If you have a car, you're rich in the Philippines. You know, like it's crazy.
There's levels to this.
Yeah, one of the top searches in the Philippines is like, you know, jobs with a 50K salary, you know,
which is
less than $1,000 US.
That's true.
And in America, like if you make $1,000 a month, man, you can't even, my house payment's like almost 2000 US dollars. And I don't even live in a great part of town. It's just so expensive to live in America, but the standards are way different. And you know, when I first came over here and started building my team here, and I got my first like kind of big contract doing lead generation. So my very first job, I guess you could say, for this company was data scraping from LinkedIn and building a list of like top five, you know, Fortune 500 executives. And at the time, the AI wasn't as good. Right now, you can use AI to do a lot of this data, which is already showing you like the truth of the matter. Like I couldn't even start this company with the same way that I did back then. It was still cheaper to use humans. Now it's obviously cheaper to use robots.
Yeah.
But you know, when I remembered, you know, I couldn't even afford a whole lot back then. But now looking at what I do, like even the starting salary for my team, even on my training salary is like 25K, which is like way more than even most call center agents make here.
Double.
In the Philippines. Oh, yeah, exactly. Like the average. And obviously I'm preaching to the choir here, but like I was just doing research before the podcast because I wanted to make sure I knew my numbers.
Nice.
But the average salary in the Philippines right now is like 12 to 13K a month. Most people don't even have a savings. Every time somebody gets sick, there's someone in the hospital, somebody dies, they beg, borrow, and steal to pay the bills. And, you know, being able to be a business owner here in the Philippines and really, you know, transforms the lives of my people and just see the impact that it makes, it's amazing. And quite frankly, the Filipino is the most undervalued person on this planet, man. Like, you guys are so smart, and you're so driven, and you're so westernized in a good way, all right? I know some people will debate me on the whole colonization thing or whatever, but, like, you guys are seriously driven. Like, you guys are some of the most motivated, you know, strong, and survivors.
I agree. And actually, that was, like, a main motivation of the podcast. Like, we know deep down Filipinos are like that. Some of them might be chilling today, but, like, deep down, that boy, that girl wants to make a difference, and we know it. So, that's cool, man. I actually curious, and I wanted to touch on this before we deep dive into AI. You know, we're rocking the merch, the Savage merch. What's the story behind this? How did you think about? Because I feel like we've been connected on Facebook for a couple years. And like I saw you like kind of start that from like just out of nowhere, and then you just kept on it. And now when I see the word, you're the one I think about.
I've told this story twice in my life. And ironically, both were on podcasts while I was here in the Philippines.
Nice.
But one of my clients, Dan Henry, who's an excellent marketer, he's a kick-ass dude. Love the guy. You know, he's a little polarizing. Most people love him or hate him.
Yeah.
You know, there's good and bad about that. You know, I've definitely learned a bit from it. But he was actually my client, and he launched a program called the Savage Marketing Academy. That was back in like 2018. Mm-hmm. And he had this huge conference that had like maybe 400, 500 people. It's called AdCon Live in Florida. And he asked me to be a speaker. And actually, he didn't ask me. He was like, hey, I want to know who the best speakers are, whatever. And I pitched his ass, right? Like the savage that I am.
Yeah.
I said, here, because I knew what his audience was. I said, here's your audience. And I said, here's what I want to do. I want to show people how to use LinkedIn to generate leads and make sales. And I kind of sent him some ideas and I like some bullet points of what he would do. And he's like, yeah, dude, that would be great. Let's go. So at the time, he was also my client. And he was launching this academy. But the academy had this kind of whack-ass paint. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
Whack-ass way of signing up. It was a $1 7-day trial.
Right.
And then it rebilled everybody after 1 week for $2.97 a month.
Mm.
Now, what happened was it attracted a lot of cheapskates that wanted that $1.
Yes.
So what happened was everybody was trying to cancel it day 7. They try to download the Filipino way.
Yeah.
They try to download everything.
Torrent that shit.
So you can relate. So anyway, it was a customer service nightmare because he had to have one of my team members basically online to help with the cancellations and refunds and whatever else not. And then nobody wanted to work 7 days a week because if somebody signs up on a Sunday, they got to cancel the next Sunday. And he basically canceled the project. But at 2018, when he had launched it at AdCon, he had all sorts of swag and merch, man. He was giving away the hats. I had like 2-3 of those hats and these shirts that said Savage Marketing Academy. At the time, you know, he was done with that. But, you know, I still had the swag and I'm a swag guy. Dude, I'm still wearing that swag from 2018.
Yeah.
I got 5-year-old shirts I'm still wearing.
Yeah.
All right. So what was crazy was he said, my son and I, we were matchy-matchy. All right. We had the black Savage Marketer hat on. We had the black Savage Marketer shirt on. And at the time, I had a black convertible Camaro. And so it was just like black on black with red. And I had red trim inside the car. And it was badass. And I took the selfie of us. And I was like, I sent it to Dan. I was like, yo, Dan, thinking about you today. You know, what'd you ever do with this brand? He messaged me back. He's like, nothing.
Shout out Dan Henry.
He's like, why? You know? And I'm like, well, I thought about buying it. He's like, buying it? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of a savage marketer. And I think it'd be cool for some projects I'm working on or whatever. And he's like, how much would you pay me for it? And we came up with a number. And he was like, nah, Because I said $3,000.
That was your initial offer.
My initial offer was $3,000, right? For the domain, basically. That's what I was thinking, for the domain and for the branding, because I like the branding, the actual visual branding. And he was like, Jeff, I could sell all the swag in my garage and make more than $3,000. And I was like, swag? and he goes out.
Keyword.
I love swag. So he goes out into his garage and he takes a little wraparound video of his, you know, he's got this mansion on the waterfront. And he does this wraparound video. And I swear to you, he's got two walls, like a corner and a corner, like two walls stacked from floor to like 75% up, boxes of swag. I mean, he had hats, he had shirts. He had binders. He even had boxes of boxes, all right? Black branded boxes that said Savage Marketer on. I know that wasn't cheap either. So then I was like, okay. So then we came up with a new number. He really wanted me to join into his mastermind that he had, the circle. And he says, listen, you join my mastermind. I will give you the brand, but you have to fly over here and get all this shit out of my garage. So it was a good deal. And I've been the Savage Marketer ever since. I've loved it. I've obviously turned it into my podcast, which is what the Savage Marketer is now. Which, you know, before we started the show, we were just talking about how much work it is. So you guys got to support Nick's, man. Like, obviously you too, late guy. The guy who you guys think is late all the time. But it's crazy because when I started the podcast, it was because I was at all these events all the time. And I'm always around awesome people. So I'm just going to bring my video studio, my little portable video studio, and I'm going to set up and I'm going to record all these podcasts and at these events. Boom, COVID happened right afterwards, like right after I launched it. And then I started moving everything to Zoom, but it just wasn't the same. Didn't have the same energy.
Yeah, that's what we were feeling too. Like, we didn't want Zoom interviews. So, but like, it's great that you were here in the Philippines at this time. Otherwise, like, we couldn't have done it. That was a crazy story about the Savage Marketer. And I don't know, like, when people talk about you and or when you talk about, like, right now, like, I love how you're very strategic with your content, wherein it feels like there's always a campaign, kind of like you're going to start talking about AI, like you'll embed it into everyone's minds that AI is your domain at this moment. Like, and then I can see you kind of like, if you're done with that, like you could just as easily shift to another one. Like,
at the end of the day, it's not even about AI. It's not even about virtual assistants. What I'm about is leverage. Right. So like whether it's an AI or a human or whatever, I just love leverage. You know, I'm the 3-day weekend enthusiast. You know, I don't like working on Fridays. I don't like working on Mondays either. So maybe transition to 4-day weekend enthusiast. But quite frankly, I just like the idea of maximizing our time that we have on this earth. And, you know, back in 2016, I started something, this movement called the 90-10 lifestyle. And it's something that, you know, even though I don't talk about it that much, like it's a principle I live by. It's something that I embed into my team about, like, how do we optimize our life so that, you know, we get to focus on that 10% that's really valuable and then either delegate, I call it ADD, all right? We either automate, delegate, or delete the other 90% of our life that we're not motivated to do, that we're not feeling inspired to do, that's not making an impact. Right? Like, I know the impact is such a huge thing for your community here at the title. So it's all about just focusing on what we want to do that has the biggest impact.
Yeah. So there's one thing, like, Kelvin's going to ask you this. So I was showing him when we were talking about, oh yeah, we'll guest Jeff. And like, that was his first time kind of like seeing you. And then I was showing like all your content and it's like, he's now thinking like, you're doing a lot of things. So yeah, he's wondering about that.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw your content. Do you ever get tired creating content, promoting yourself? As you know, you're also running a company, mm-hmm. and while also doing other stuff, do know it does take a toll.
I'm not gonna lie.
So, what do you do to stay motivated?
I do this. I like to take the cheat code of content, which is creating with other people. It's way better to sit across from you or even on a Zoom, you know, like I reluctantly will do Zoom. But I do a podcast interview. Boom. You have your content, right? I'm meeting with Jared Dillinger, right?
Yeah.
JD, we'll talk about him a little bit from Barangay Hinebra. You know, we're shooting content and he has his own video team. And even 2 days ago, I go to John Rankin's place, right? He's got the sales masters. He's got this whole like podcast studio set up over there. He wants me on his show, right? And then what I do is I always ask for the raw files and I have my team chop it up. But, you know, I'm not going to lie, there's some cheat codes now with AI.
Yeah.
There's some cheat codes. And everybody likes cheat codes. But for me, you know, like I have my AI, I call it an AI persona. You've seen that.
Yeah.
AI persona, just for everyone who's just tuning in, like an AI persona is basically you creating your own very like human-like AI team member that has a specific role, does a specific thing. It's perfect. It's like you can even craft its own personality. It's the human you've always wanted to hire who will work for you for free. Never ask for a raise. Never unpoachable. Right? Poaching in the Philippines is a big deal. It's unpoachable. It will never leave and go work for another client. And, you know, it never has a baby. It never takes a break. It's amazing. Now, the one thing I will tell everybody, okay, this is very important to know, and this is the huge advantage that Americans have, Filipinos have, Australians have, anybody from any nation has over AI, okay? This is a human versus AI thing. An AI will never care. It will pretend. Mm. It will pretend, but it will never care. So, so the cheat code is I create my own AI persona that knows how to create a really strong, you know, content plan, and it just shoots out crazy stuff, and it'll even write me video scripts and stuff. Like a lot of the videos that I do, it's like, boom. And Jared, JD, same thing. He's using AI to help come up with this. You know, it's like, we're there. We're like, and by the way, a lot of people are like, oh, AI is killing creativity. It's actually making me more creative because I'm boring AF. I'm not going to lie. I would talk about the same thing over and over. So I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, here's a prompt. Here's a free prompt for everybody listening. Sometimes I'd be like, what's a topic that would be cool for my audience that I'm not thinking about, right? And it'll come like, well, maybe you can talk about this. Maybe you can talk about that, right? Like Meta was talking about mental health and stuff like that. You know, like this is a problem too. AI is hella biased.
Yeah, whatever is in at the moment that it wants, the agenda that it wants.
I can only imagine the coder who literally was like, you know what, if somebody asks what to show up on a podcast, it's probably some blue-haired person with a nose ring, and probably like, you know what, if somebody asks about podcast ideas, like, you should totally tell them, like, something about mental health and being good to the environment, maybe throwing something in there about, you know, how climate change is impacting the world. Right?
As the first suggestion.
Exactly. like that's the stuff we care about. We wake up every day going, oh my God, my mental health.
One thing that we're very excited, you touch on it about the tools. One thing that we were actually very excited about for this episode is because we knew that we were all going to speak English, and English video content is so much easier for AI to just like chop up. Shout out opus.ai. We were like, our other episodes were in Filipino or like Taglish, and like it just couldn't do the captions. But this one's going to have like 70 clips.
Yeah,
easy.
The Taglish is going to be challenging for it to decipher, right?
Yeah. I was like, in one of the episodes, I was saying Bitcoin, and the way that the audio, the Opus AI does the caption is box lover. Like, what? Box, B-A-X lover. Bitcoin, like, what? But
yeah, I think it was last night when I told you that I'm super happy that this is an English episode. Yeah. Yes, I was doing some of the videos, the editing, and I'm using CapCut free.
CapCut,
tool.
Baby. Hey, yeah. It's a good tool for free.
And most of the subtitles, or not subtitles, the captions, they won't capture because it's in Tagalog. And I had to type it manually and then adjust it to which part.
That's tough.
So it's pretty hard,
There's a couple of tools out there. And I'm curious, you know, I'm curious to see how they'll do it with Tagalog, because I think the real problem, though, is that even Tagalog, no one speaks Tagalog. It's Taglish, you know, it's like, so like the AI has to decipher back and forth between English and Tagalog, you know, God forbid you ever order a steak and it's medium, you know? For you Filipinos out there, it's medium. Okay, it's medium,
nah, it's
not medium.
That's gonna be tough. Well, let's talk about virtual staffer. Like, what's that going on? Like, actually, shout out Jackie's here. One of Jeff's.
She's been my executive assistant for now 2 years. She reminded me because she says, "Well, it's been 2 years now, so of course she's requesting a raise."
Let's get it. Let's get it, Jackie. Let's get it. One thing that when I first saw her, it's just her shirt says like virtual staffer, and then it's like AI division. So, like, can you share about us? Like, what's how AI is now like just shaping up your company?
I almost sold my company this year. I'm very transparent with my team, and I had been screwed over by a client last year in a big way. A client that I had built a 50-person team for, and they started making some outrageous demands. The writing was on the wall since July of last year, and I was like, something is very fishy about the demands. You know, they were asking crazy things. They were asking very crazy things, like, you know, who on your team. You know, they were basically demanding me to give them a spreadsheet with like all the salaries of my team members. And I was like, well, why would I do that? You know, like, they're like, we want transparency. And I'm like, they're like, we're your number one customer and we demand transparency. And I'm like, and I even said, which is probably why they weren't happy with me. I said, well, I'm McDonald's number one customer and I'm not going to go in there and demand the cook's salaries in the back.
What's the point of knowing the salary?
Of course. And I even told them, I said, I feel like you guys are trying to poach my team. Oh, Jeff, we would never. Like, I should have known from that reaction that they were going to, can I say?
Yeah.
They're going to fuck ahead. Me. All right. They're going to just screw it in and twist it. And I was like, man, this is not cool. And, you know, at the time I had just been coasting for like a year and a half, because over the past 2 years, like, that client was bringing on more business for us than all my clients combined. And it was like nuts. And just to put into numbers, you know, I do about a 35% margin in the company. You know, after all the expenses and everything, we have about a 35% profit margin, which in the service-based industry, it's okay. Definitely needs to be bigger. It's hard to grow when you only have a 35% margin. And now we're in the business podcast now. But what I decided to do, and why I brought up the fact that I almost sold the company, is because I got screwed over. And basically, I lost $75,000 to $80,000 a month US. Okay, think about that. It's $1 million a year in revenue. $80,000. Okay.
Yeah.
$80,000 a month is $1 million in year revenue. I lost it basically overnight from a client who just pulled out and then found out that they poached all my team members. Only three of them stayed because they were family members of my team. So they're like loyal, you know? And quite frankly, I rewarded the hell out of them for staying, because the company, they gave them a fat sign-on bonus and stuff, you know? Like, if I was the person, you know, like, they did a good job of making them all feel like they did the right thing. They were able to completely ignore their own ethics and stuff and even try to make me seem like the bad guy.
It was a godfather off.
It was ugly, yeah. And shout out to those two wonderful power duo with that company who screwed me over, and they know who they are. Trust me when I say it's coming for you.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's in this life or the next life. But anyway,
but you bounced back.
Yeah, I mean,
like, what was that
still
like?
Bouncing back. I mean, it's still, I'm not going to lie, like, I'm not recovered 100%, and it's tough. But, you know, and I talked to one of my business coaches. And by the way, guys, this is another thing, okay? Because I know this is all about, you guys are all about learning and making impact and doing bigger things. You need to level up the people in your network, and specifically reach out and find a mentor who's done something that you want to do with your life. Work for them for free. Just follow them and like all of their stuff every day. And like, just be around greatness. Like, if you're around greatness, because I have a mentor of mine who was like, dude, this is a good time because AI just came out. This is like November, right? So ChatGPT just launches for free. And I'm like, oh my God, this is for free? I couldn't believe it. When ChatGPT launched for free, I was like, no way. And then when they were doing the poll, like, how much should we charge for the plus package? And it was like, they sent out a Google sheet of all things, like a survey on Google. I don't know if you remember that. It was like, how much would you pay? And it was like, even the check boxes, one was like $5, $10, $25, $40. And I think the highest was $75. And when I saw that the highest on their poll was $75, I was like, oh, the world is in for some trouble if this is going to be that cheap, because it was so good. And, you know, the fact that everyone can use this technology for free, ChatGPT, even ChatGPT 3.5, if you go to openai.com and use the free version of ChatGPT, which anyone in the Philippines can do, it's probably the most powerful tool ever given for free in the history of life. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, it's so powerful, guys. It can do so much. It can write. This is the last class that will ever do homework again. My goddaughter, this is aging me, my goddaughter just graduated from college. And I just told her, I said, dude, how ridiculous is it to think that you're the last class that will ever have actually done homework? And so anyway, what ends up happening is my business coach, she says, you should sell. AI is coming. VAs are going to be useless. And your business has a high valuation right now. No one knows you lost your biggest client yet. Just sell it while it's good. And I could have been unethical and sold it. I had an offer actually come in after that, even this year. I've had an offer for 3x multiplier, what I'm at right now. You know, the company does pretty well. I think we did, you know, even last year after everything happened, it's like, you know, we did $385,000 just in profit. It's a couple million dollar in US revenue a year. And what was really interesting was the thing that really got me, because I was super depressed. I'm not going to lie. Like, I wanted to crawl into a ball and cry. Like, it was tough for me too, as a boss, like thinking, wow, what have I done wrong to make everyone, like to make 50 of my 150 people do that? That's a third of my team. And there was some inner reflection there. But what ended up happening was I said, nah, there's got to be a way. So I actually flew my ass out to the Philippines in December of 2022, right after ChatGPT was released. And I said, we are going to master this because there's no way I'm going to let it replace us. So I created the AI division of our company. And the sole purpose of that AI division is to figure out how can we execute and implement AI for ourselves and internally and for our clients so that we become even more valuable for our clients. And that was the real key. And that was really the turning point for this company. And actually, ironically, when I figured this out with my team in the Philippines, I was like, oh my God, Americans, like everyone needs this. So then I launched my own program teaching people what I already taught my VAs, which is the AI persona method, which is how to actually train AI to be like that human helper, to be very human-like. Because right now, if you scroll on Facebook, you can't even go a couple scrolls without seeing somebody and they're like 3,500 prompt pack or something like that.
Right.
But the truth is, if you actually understand AI, if you understand large language models, if you understand how natural language processing works, it's not about the prompts at all. It's about the data. It's about educating and training your AI. You'd be probably hard pressed to know this, but in my own training that I give people, it's about 60 to 90 minutes of training before you ask the AI to do anything. You're just educating it. And now, life is a lot better for me and the team, and I've really gone all in on the AI division. So
wow, and I wanted to touch this because, like, at the Title Zone, we ask tough questions too. You know, one thing that I saw this post from you where it kind of got a bit of a flack in the comment section. No. Okay, before we go here, when I was typing your name, like, it just says Jeff J. Hunter Starbucks. What was that about?
So I went to Tagay Thai earlier this year, and I went to that Starbucks. Not the new one. It wasn't even built all the way yet.
Okay.
I went to the Reserve this time. It wasn't even built when I came last time, or it was being built. And when I went in there, there was a giant line of Filipinos, and they were all ordering. And even everywhere I go, even Makati, you know, I'm usually in Makati area, BGC, whatever. It's like every Starbucks is filled. And just the numbers that we had just talked about, how much disposable income Filipinos have. It's not the same as America, but I can tell you this. The coffees at Starbucks, they're the same price as America. Mm. And I'm like, dude, if you're making 12K a month and you're spending 160 to 250 pesos at Starbucks, I'm like, there's something wrong.
That's
and
a lot.
Jack, who told me about her friend who bought an iPhone 14 making 13K a month. Now listen to this. A 7-year loan.
Private, what?
Third party 7-year loan, right? Like, dude, how long is the phone going to last, bro? 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years would be at iPhone what?
27. Like
20-something.
Right? So this is bizarre to me, right? And I'm just like, wow, this is really consumerism at its finest. People should save more money. And I basically wrote a post saying that, look, Americans are just as bad too. But like, if people save that money and their life would be so much better than wasting it and being one day millionaires when they get their paycheck. I'm not gonna lie, I have a pretty large team here in the Philippines, you know, 100 plus people. And it's very common for me to see pictures of my team on Facebook on payday going to friggin' Vikings or whatever, bro. And it's like their whole paycheck's gone. And I'm like, man, you know, and I want Filipinos, my team especially, I want them to be financially solvent. I want them to be secure. You know, I want them to have a savings. You know, they shouldn't have to come to me and say, oh, God, boss, can I get a cash advance? You know, it sucks. So I got a lot of flack on that post. But yeah, 3.6 million views. 3.6 million views. If you Facebook me, Jeff J. Hunter.
Good trade-off.
Yeah. But the thing is, a lot of people agree with me.
Oh, okay. So most people agree.
Yeah, the majority. Like, I was looking at the people that shared the post, which had, by the way, like 100,000 shares. It was nuts. That's how it went mega viral. It's so crazy how things can go viral in the Philippines like that. And everyone's on Facebook here, right? Because even without a load, you can still get on Facebook.
just, you want to go viral? Just talk about Starbucks or Taylor Swift or both. Right? No, so the post that I was going to talk about, Miss Universe coin, the post I was just talking about is like a lot of people like shared it to me. I was like taking a break from socials. So I wasn't like really engaging with it. But you mentioned something about like virtual assistants specifically. The virtual assistants, like a freelance virtual assistant cannot focus. You're not a fan of like freelance virtual assistant. And I was reading that over and over again until like he's right. Like you're right. And I just want to like talk about that because it's a bit controversial, complicated situation.
Also, I want to point out that it's not right for me. It might be right for you, but it's not right for me. And I'll tell you why. Let me break it down the post for everybody. The post was about why I don't hire freelancers. Okay. That was what it was about. And I get so many of my own clients and my friends that are like, I hired a Filipino VA and they disappeared. 3 months, they were so good. And this is why I said, I never hire a VA from Fiverr, online jobs, Upwork. I never hire anyone from those sites because those people already have entrepreneurial mindset. And by the way, I have nothing against entrepreneurial mindset. If you do you. I'm excited for you to create wealth in your life. I teach a lot of people how to be freelancers and things like that. I've spoken at events where, you know, it's a freelance event, you know, here in the Philippines even. And I encourage people to do that. But I'm not going to hire a freelancer except for maybe copywriters and things like that. You know, like, let's say results-based things.
Project-based website. Exactly. Build this website copy.
And the reason why is because if you hire a VA who's a freelancer from a freelance site, they're just usually juggling multiple clients and they don't fully care about you. Remember what I said, the advantage that humans have over AI is that they care. So what's the freaking use of a human that doesn't care? Okay? That's what I'm saying. And by the way, I always get flack from the Filipinos who are entrepreneurs that are on Upwork doing whatever, because it's, I've been banned from so many virtual assistant Facebook groups. over the years. Like one time, by the way, I was in this Facebook group and it was like VA something. I don't remember what it was, but it was like a VA Facebook group. And it was like, you know, one of the rules was if you're posting a job, you can never post a job that makes less than $10 an hour. And I was like, well, what about the Filipinos that would like love to make $3 an hour because they're making $1 or $1.50 working at SM
or less,
you know, in retail? Like, dude, whatever you pay your people, great, but like, why would you want to limit the opportunities of somebody who, like, $3, even $5 an hour would be like a life changing amount to most Filipinos? That's a lot more than $13,000 a month, $5 an hour, even. So, what's really nuts is that I get banned a lot, you know, just by voicing like reason. So, on this post, I get flack because I say that Filipino VAs, quote unquote, that are online, I don't want them to work for me. I want to have a call center agent who has worked like 2-3 years for a company who is loyal. And the only reason they even want to leave that job is because they're like, oh my God, I can work from home and make 2-3 times more than I'm making now and not work mandatory overtime, yeah. OTTY,
yeah.
Right? Overtime.
Right? Thank
and
you.
Not have to worry about CWDs, critical wallet day, right?
Oh.
Like, and I pay them on time, you know? And the funniest, you know, the interesting part, this is, I wouldn't say it's off topic, but one of the things as a business owner in the Philippines is that I realized that there's a lot of cultural norms that I had to conform to make Filipinos comfortable working for me. I was paying my team every 2 weeks. People were getting confused AF. They were like, we used to getting paid on the 10th and the 25th of the month. Yeah. I was like, okay, so from now on, you're getting paid the 10th and the 25th of the month, right? So like little things like nuances like that I had to figure out, you know? So for me, I'm like a hybrid. Even though technically everybody who works for me is an independent contractor, there are some things that make them feel better and more secure. And I noticed that for Filipinos, safety is really important, financial safety and, you know, having specific things that they can rely on consistently. That's very important to them. So yeah, I want those types of people that work for me. I don't want the person who's going to show up, try to make a hell of money and then bounce, or someone else on Upwork's going to be like, how much do you make right now? Great. How would you like to make more? And then they leave you because at the end of the day, the only thing they're loyal to is the next paycheck. Okay. I want people that are loyal to what I'm building and believe in my vision. And I want to feel, like I said, like I'm the call center savior. I want to pull people out from that crappy job and enlighten them to a world that they never even knew of, to work for my clients that literally love my team. You know, I have clients that I still have clients from 2014 when I first started this company.
Well, I think like VA is actually one of the most searched terms for like people who's trying to get into the online world, like how to become a virtual assistant. So for you, like with your, because I like what you explained, and I agree with that.
I'm sure I'm gonna get some flack. Yeah. That's, you know, what, they're gonna beat me up in the comments. No. That's cool.
No, but it's okay. But like, look, marketing agencies, same way. Marketing agency usually has an account manager for each like client, so that like expecting one virtual assistant to handle five like different businesses is different because it's a big task. So how should they start then? Like in your opinion, how should they?
If you're obviously just starting out, let's just, you know, and this advice I want to put out to everyone here. See, the other thing is too, when you're a virtual assistant, an entrepreneur, freelance virtual assistant, that means you also have to be good at business. Okay. The people that work for me, they don't have to be good at business. They don't have to be good at getting a new client. They just have to be really good at becoming what we call an executive assistant. They need to learn how to use most email platforms. They need to learn how to manage inboxes of social media accounts. Most of my clients are very successful and they are overwhelmed and they have way too much work and they really need someone they can trust who can be there long term. They're not looking for somebody to come in and fill projects or whatever. They want someone that they can wake up like I have with Jack. My assistant, every day, I don't have to worry. Matter of fact, my assistant, she starts her shift an hour before I even wake up. I don't even wait. When I wake up, she's already like, hey, boss, went through your emails. Here's the important ones that you need to look at. Scheduled so-and-so appointment, you know, this and that, whatever. Like, literally, she's done like 90%. There's that 90-10, okay? She's done 90% of everything. All my notification hell is gone. And the little slim pickings of what is done is there, right? So, like, this is the type of person that my clients need, right? But, by the way, I'm not demeaning or devaluing being an online virtual assistant as a freelancer, because you got to start somewhere, okay? And I'm not going to lie, I have 100 plus applications every month to my company and only like a sliver. You know, I think we hired like 9 out of the 100 something that applied to us last month, okay? We hire usually about 10 a month. So like if you're just starting out, what you need to focus on is the magic word. How can you add value to someone else? And whether it's learning how to help. I mean, right now, guys, just learning AI, right? Like so many people would love somebody to come in and help them use AI in their company to help create newsletters, email newsletters, for example, or whatever. And like you could charge $100, you know, per email or whatever. Or even if you just charge like $500 a month and just say, hey, look, for $500 a month, I will create for you like, you know, 20 email newsletters or whatever. That's still super cheap to an American, right? The goal is to position yourself as high value and low cost if you want to start. That's true. And that's, by the way, the same in everything, right? Yeah. That's the whole idea of internships, apprenticeships. Even when you, it's crazy because when people graduate in America, this is that America-Filipino disparity thing. In America, when people graduate from college, like they're expecting the world. They're going to get like a $75 to $100,000 a year job, or I'd rather just not work. You know, it's crazy. And over here, like I see so many hungry people. So like just start leveling and skilling up.
Yeah, you mentioned you hire like 9 to 10 VAs for a month. So what's the process like? I know I haven't tried applying as a VA because I was late in that.
He's looking for a job. he's literally like
sliding your resume. Something later.
So this is something that I actually teach my clients. Okay, and this is a preparation for those of you who want to apply. Maybe if you're listening to this, you want to apply. You know, we definitely are open. We're hiring a lot, but I call this basically I guess it's kind of an experiential hiring process. So I don't believe in CVs or resumes anymore because everybody can copy and paste anything from somebody. And by the way, you know who's the best at resumes? ChatGPT. I don't trust anything. You can't trust anything written anymore because it's all ChatGPT anyway. So what we do is we have an experiential hiring process where we actually give them tasks to perform and do. So for example, one of the tasks, here's a little tip and trick for anybody who wants to apply. So we have a time, it's like 90 minutes. You have to finish the whole application in 90 minutes. And there's a giant warning label on the top says, make sure you have 90 minutes because as soon as you hit this, it's it. And by the way, you know how many times I have people like message me like, oh, something happened and I couldn't finish it in time, whatever, something. I came back and it was like, yeah, that's the same excuse you're going to use when you work for me. And I'm not happening, you know, it's not having it. So one of the things we do is we have a recording of a call, a client call, something like this, right? Like a call with the client and we talk about solutions and problems they're doing. And then the best part is, you know what the instructions are? Get ready. None. The instructions are, here's a blank Google Doc that has meeting minute template, and they have to listen to the 20-minute call and then fill out the template, right? What we care about are three main things. It's our core values of our company. First is adaptation. Are you adaptable? Can you learn something new? Are you a fast learner? That's very important to me, okay? Because technology changes. Things change all the time. Number two is work ethic. Do you actually show up, right? The third one is exactly what we were talking about earlier. Giving a damn. It's caring, right? So ironically, all three of those things that we're really looking for when we hire, there's something you can't teach. If you have those three qualities though, you can be taught anything. So that's what we care about. So we have an experiential hiring process where they go through a test, and then after the test, if they do well, then they get an interview. So I think that's the key. It's also how we're able to filter out a lot of the trash because, man, there's just so many people that apply and I'm just like, what? You know?
What do you think about VAs eventually branching out? Do you have like a career plan or like a roadmap for them?
So we definitely, for example, every single person on my management team, except for one person, Julio. Shout out to Julio. Every single person on my project management team, my leadership team, started as someone else. Right? Started as an assistant, something like that. And they've been promoted. They've come up through the company, right? And I give lots of opportunities like that for people to learn new things. Like, for example, Carlin, who's, shout out to Carlin. She's our newest trainer. And she used to be the assistant to our recruiter. And she stepped up and became the trainer now. So now she has a management role at the company, a nice little fat, you know, salary increase as well. And to answer your question, you know, for me, it's like unlimited, like untapped. Like as long as someone can keep showing me value, then we keep doing it. Yeah. For example, Isabel, and I want everything to be tied to performance. And not just performance, but revenue generating performance. For me, a number one thing that's important to me is client retention. Can I keep my clients and can I keep my team members? Because the longer I keep my clients and my team members, obviously the more profitable the company is and less overhead. And it's very, by the way, very costly to hire and train new people because I'm paying them, right? I'm paying them before they're even adding value, right? It's not like a VA where like you're hiring a freelance VA or whatever and it's like you're getting value from day one because they already know stuff. Like we're taking people from the call center and we're teaching them how to be VAs. No bad habits. So I want people to, but with Isabel, like she's tied to performance. So if she gets a monetary reward, you know, she gets a bonus every time someone stays, client stays for a year, and a team member stays 90 days. There's ways to incentivize people to do that.
Nice. Well, I think that's really awesome. And I feel like this last leg of the show, we can go deep into the AI. Let's go deep. It's the talk of the town. And it's actually crazy. We were like, Kelvin and I were talking about this. How insane to me, because I'm pretty used to tools. Like I'm in marketing. Like when there's a new tool, I try it out and stuff like that. And most of the time, it's only me who uses a tool. Aside from like, you know, other marketers or other people in the space. But man, when ChatGPT came out, family members, like people who don't usually use it. How about you? Like you have friends that.
Yeah, yeah. Even myself, you saw my greetings for my mom on her birthday, right? I use ChatGPT.
That's sad. I don't know if I should clap or cry for that one.
But it's crazy how, you know, just that adoption. Like, I know you said that not a lot of people still use it, but in my view, like, I feel like many people use it. Just like people who don't give a damn about these tools, they do it.
Yeah.
But even those were working. You're right, like majority still. But like just seeing people actually start using something like is new to me. Like no one knows about like freaking MailChimp and all these different tools, but like ChatGPT feels like it has that kind of potential.
It's so easy. It's like talking to a person, right? This is what I really love about what ChatGPT's opened the door to. And obviously there's other language models out there that I like. But ChatGPT, obviously a first mover, kicking down the doors, basically, you know, trying to, I mean, their adoption, their quote unquote adoption rate to 100 million users was so fast. And like, it was the fastest recorded ever of any type of, you know, SaaS, which is nuts. I mean, even Facebook, they launched Threads, which is dead. Yeah. If we talk about sucks. Threads for a second, bye.
Sucks.
Reverse. But anyway, what was really interesting about ChatGPT is that I'm sure all of us has experienced this, like somebody who never posts on social media magically has been posting all the time with hashtags, right? Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because I'm a project manager in a past life, I always reverse engineer everything. And I see what people are posting and I'm in my mind visualizing like what prompt they typed for that. And I'm like, sometimes I'll even, I'm kind of, you guys know I'm a savage, but I'm also kind of an asshole, which can be good or bad. You know, sometimes you need to have a little asshole in you, but excuse me. So sometimes I'll even like, if I see something that someone typed, I'll even in the comment section, I'll just make my guess of what they typed in as a prompt to make that post. So I'll be like, right? Like if somebody's like, greetings, you know, like today, let's, you know, be appreciative and grateful for the things that we have in life, whatever else not. It's like hashtag appreciation, hashtag gratitude. Right. And I'll be like, ChatGPT colon, you know, write a social media post to remind people to express daily gratitude. and then it said, use hashtags. Right. And like I've actually lost friends over. I've been unfriended from people because I've added them. Like, oh, God, he knows I'm using ChatGPT. It's comical.
And they don't even edit sometimes. Like Ja Morant from like the Memphis Grizzlies, when he got called out for his gun thing, his whole apology was like,
here's a draft for a response. And it's like, even that's in there. Yeah.
Your focus right now is like AI and how leverage this. Like you love that word. So what are you doing right now to kind of get people on that train?
I've been very strategic about the relationships that I'm building here in the Philippines. And, you know, I know that Filipinos love basketball. And at Philippine Blockchain Week last year, you know, I was moderating a panel with Jared Dillinger from Barangay Hinebra. And, you know, me and him really connected on a very deep level. And I've been to his house a few times and his lovely wife, who they just had their first baby together, which is crazy. But when I started talking to him about the impact of AI, he was like, wow, that's real. I started talking about the call center stats. He was like, dude. And it just so happened to be that the day that I was going over to his house, I go down to the hotel lobby. I'm about to eat my little free buffet breakfast. That's one thing I love about the Philippines. It's always meal inclusive. So I look at, and there's a magazine rack, and in the magazine rack is a bunch of newspapers, and there it is, the Daily Tribune. And on the front cover of the Daily Tribune says AI jobs apocalypse feared. And I was like, whoa. And then what bothered me was the very first paragraph under that article, which is Senator Marcos proposes, you know, it wasn't like banning, but basically like regulating the use of AI. And I was like, dude, seriously? Like that's how you're gonna combat AI is to ban it? It's just like, I'm so confused. That would be like going back and being like, you know what, guys, we're gonna ban automobiles because we have all these like horse carriage drivers.
Horses. Yeah.
It's like, seriously? Alessa. And I got so frustrated, I actually brought that newspaper over to Jared's house. And I was like, Jared, I was like, look at this. And he was like, dude, he was so concerned. He was like, this is not the right direction. They should be adapting and embracing what's coming. This is coming, you know, whether you want it or not. This is, you know, Skynet's coming, you know. Dun, 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 dun. That's the Terminator thing. Anyway, also very old. So, you know, I always feel like I'm really old in the Philippines. I feel like everyone in the Philippines.
You don't look. 20. You don't look old.
22.
No. Oh my God, I wish I was. I'm 31 now.
I'm like 10 years older than you. All right. So anyway, what's interesting though is Jared and I were like, let's do something about this, man. Let's do something about this with his reach and the impact that he can make, right? And he's coming in to do a show next week.
Yeah.
Jared, I can't wait for you guys to talk to Jared. But he was like, dude, we got to do something about this. So then I said, you know what? We should make a program for Filipinos to teach them how to use generative AI, because there's so many free tools, guys. This is what's exciting. Never as a Filipino or any, let's say Pakistan, wherever, like anywhere in the world in a developing country, has there been so many tools available for free that can literally change your life and add massive value to people quickly. Again, it goes back to what I said earlier. How can I add value to people? And if all you did was learn how to use AI tools, generative AI tools, generative tools means that they create things, they generate things, they generate text, they generate images, whatever. I'm going to give everybody here a drop of my absolute two favorite tools that you guys can use to make money in the next 24 hours. One, ChatGPT. Hello, OpenAI. The free version of it is more powerful than anything. You know, like, I'm older than you guys, but I remember back when I was in school, we used to have this calculator called the TI-83, this Texas Instrument TI-83. And that thing was so damn powerful. It could draw vector diagrams and all sorts of stuff. Like, you could cheat in school. And then, you could even program it. You could literally program it to like play games, which is all I did, which is why I'm a professional gamer. You guys know. So the second one I would say is called Ideogram. Ideogram. It's also free. Ideogram is like Midjourney. It's a visual. It's stunning, bro. The images, graphics, it can create, right? Yes, it can create graphics, magazine covers, whatever else not. Some, and it's very good. And it even can do text, right? So those two tools alone, if you just learn how to use those two tools, you could create wealth. Create wealth.
First time I'm hearing about Ideogram. Have you heard of that?
I don't know. Haven't.
Yeah, it's my first time, so I think that's pretty damn impressive. And actually, here's one thing I wanted to add into that, because people say like, oh yeah, ChatGPT is free, ChatGPT, like anyone can use ChatGPT, but guys, a lot of people are lazy to use ChatGPT, so you still have business owners who would want you to ChatGPT that thing, right?
Like, there's a right way to use it and a wrong way to use it. Look, guys, if everything was easy, everybody would be rich already, right? And like... And it's not even about being easy. It's about like knowing what is good and what is bad. So this right here, there's a couple different tools. And for those of you who are actually watching the podcast, you guys should definitely watch this podcast, by the way. But this was a post I made here. This is my AI division team, by the way. But if you scroll down and then you can maybe zoom in on one of those pictures, like those.
The No Lives Matter?
Yeah, all of those were created by Ideogram. And there's lots of incredible things.
Oh, shoot. This one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Create with AI. You just, like, the prompt, there was just, like, oh, let me just show it on screen. These are, you know, pretty fun. Wow, free. It's still free.
Like, the prompt for this one here is probably, like, I think it was, like, movie poster, chubby Thor, text, long-ass days. And it gave you like three or four different choices. And then see this right here, create with AI, Jeff J. Hunter. Like, I just typed in book cover. I typed in book cover with orange and black robot, words create with AI, author Jeff J. Hunter. And it came up with that. And it's wonderful. I'm actually going to use that, because I'm going to turn this into a lead magnet or something, like create it with AI. Like,
and it's been created with AI, right?
Exactly. Which is the point, right? And, you know, that's the thing about generative AI right now. It, even you guys didn't even know about it.
No.
Like, you guys had no idea. So that's a really awesome thing. And right now you can get ahead of the curve. And even if all you did, so I started an AI consulting program as well, where I teach people how to actually leverage AI and consult businesses. Guys, businesses are dying to learn how to do this stuff. They don't even know. And I'm just this year alone, I've made over $150,000 in AI consult calls with American businesses, Australian businesses. And even more exciting, I've helped other people launch a career in AI consulting. And they're doing just big numbers too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot out there. And I think that the lowest hanging fruit right now is to learn how to use generative AI to help businesses grow.
Nice.
Do you think there would come a time where AI would take over humans?
Terminator.
Let me Right now, I don't think the AI is taking over humans. What I will tell you, though, which is absolute truth, and it's already happening, is that humans are being replaced by humans that are using AI. Okay? So you got to be that human that's using AI.
Nice.
Right? And there's something that's really growing crazy, too, right now, which is there's a disparity gap between businesses that are using AI versus not using AI. And it's like right now the average business is getting about a 20% productivity boost and a 20% reduction in cost because the AI is obviously doing things that humans can do, right? And there's just the reality to that. I mean, there's obviously a bad side of AI. A bad side of AI is if you're doing something that a computer can do, it's probably not going to last, okay? You got to learn something that the computer can't do, okay? So it doesn't seem like a lot, 20%, but that's like an extra day a week, right? If you're a business, in 1 month, that's now four days. That's like getting almost an extra week of work, right? Which, it's all right, but it's compounding. So imagine 6 months, 4 times 6. That's an entire month.
And you're just scratching the surface on this thing.
Exactly. And the companies that are not using AI, in about 6 to 12 months, they're going to start feeling it. And about 18 months, let's say a year and a half from now, the companies that are leveraging AI, they're going to be wiping the floor with these businesses that aren't adapting. So like right now, this is a really good time to be in the business of AI and also to explain to other businesses that like you're about to get, and I hate to use scarcity, but it is true that businesses who are not using AI are going to be left behind. And that, again, there's that sky is falling thing, but it's true. You know,
because if you're not doing it, your competitor is probably doing it.
And I'm not exaggerating, guys.
They'll floor you.
One of my AI consultants, she's amazing. Her name's Natalie Choperset. She's blowing up here in the Philippines, too, even. She's from Australia. But she has like 500,000 followers now. And all she does is these videos. Her name is Brand Nat on TikTok. She's one of the 71 people I follow on TikTok. If y'all want to follow me on TikTok.
Yeah, drop that at.
Hey, Jeff J. Hunter. Yeah, all my friends on TikTok, they're just crazy fools. Like, you know who we should get on your podcast?
Yeah,
Eric Eruption, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Ty. Okay. I know Ty, yeah.
He's so ridiculous, bro. Yeah, the ting ting. We got see if we get him to do a little dance on here.
Like I would if he comes on. Like I'd want him to like clothesline us and like just powerball. I feel like he could just like try to kill us if he wanted to.
He's so ridiculous. I love it. Yeah, but Nat, she's been blowing up. It's Brand Nat. Oh, she has 219,000 followers on TikTok. And she's got like another 200,000 on Facebook. For those of you who don't see her, she's all about AI. And I actually recognized her before she blew up. Like she only had like 2,000 followers when I met her. And I was like, dude, I want you on my podcast. She's like, I've never been on a podcast before. I was like, dude, you are going to blow up. You're so awesome. She's like, really? And she has kids, you know? So she's like, I don't even have a place like where I could be free for my kids. I'm like, come on, figure this out. Get on my show. And she literally calls me on her phone from her car.
Is she based in
She's in Australia. Yeah, but she's a badass. But the reason I brought her up is because like even just doing videos about different AI technologies, like you can blow up because it's so cool, so fresh, and businesses don't know about it. So like get in. And that's exactly why I decided to can I plug?
Yeah, yeah.
So Jared and I, back to that story, Jared and I decided we're going to do something and we're actually just releasing it this week coming up.
Oh, nice.
It's called AI in the Future of Work, How to Future-Proof Your Career as a Filipino Professional. It's designed for Filipinos, although it will work for others. You know, I have Pakistanis that want to do it and stuff like that. But in all reality, it's about learning and leveraging generative AI to A, if you do have one of those call center jobs, you're going to need to upskill. And this is my prediction. I hope that I'm wrong, but my guess is I'm under predicting. But probably in the next 12 months, you're going to see probably a 25% reduction in workforce in the BPOs. The people that they get rid of are the ones that are going to have low skill, right? Like all they can do is answer phones. And you want to be able to show that you can do more, right? What we did was we released this program. It's very short too. It's only like 90 minutes of content, but it will give you the basics. Everything that I talked about today, ChatGPT, Ideogram, Midjourney, some of these tools out there, like just show how you can add more value to your existing employer or start branching out and becoming a freelancer and start to do some of this stuff on your own. You know, I'm a huge, by the way, like I said earlier, I'm not anti-freelancer. I'm just not going to have someone who works for me personally or my clients who's not committed and dedicated to me, right?
It's just a preference thing.
It is, yeah. And it's go start something, do something, make some money, you know, start a side hustle. And one day that side hustle can turn into your main hustle. And with AI, it's never been easier to start a side hustle.
How can people learn more about this program? Where's it dropping?
So it's already live, officially live on the website. If you go to daredevilmedia.io, that's Jared's website, which, by the way, I'm very proud to say it's a sexy website that my team created for him. This is daredevilmedia.io. And then on the homepage, you can actually see it says, "Are you a Filipino looking to future-proof your career? Learn more."
Get
out. And when you click the learn more button, it takes you to this. It says, "Harness the power of artificial intelligence and build a future-proof career. Learn the AI skills you need to know today." Now, here's the thing, guys. This is also important. I wanted to make this accessible to everybody, but I didn't want to make it free. And this is something that Jared and I decided on. And the reason why is because if there's one thing I've learned is that when you pay attention. I didn't want to get a bunch of people sign up for the free training and never take it. And I feel like one of the best motivators in the world is money. So I've got two ways I can help people that are in here, because I don't know what your situation is. And obviously, as an American, be honest with you, I don't need your money. Jared doesn't need your money either. But, you know, there is a cost to sustain what we're building here and to reach the amount of people that we want to reach. So we've released it for $74. $74, which is like what, 3,500 pesos? I think
yeah,
that's what
something it's, like that, yeah. 3, 9, or 4, depending on the...
Now, what I will tell you guys, though, is that I'm going to create a coupon code. Jack, remember this coupon code, okay? I'm just going to make this coupon code. We're going to make a coupon code just for these guys. Let's make a Title Zone coupon. The Title Zone coupon is going to give you 50% off. So that'll be $37.
Nice.
And for $37, you're going to learn all the basics you need to know. And you're going to have access to me and Jared in a Facebook group. Okay, so you can ask questions, things like that. I'll give you guys access. I would love for you guys to help us promote this, because this is such a really big thing.
Yeah.
And another thing, so that's way number one. You could pay. And I just hooked you up with a discount. Number two is if you really are broke.
Just really.
If you're like brokey broke, you know, if you can't afford, what is that, $37? I don't even know what that is. It's probably like, what, 1,500 pesos?
Like a trip to Vikings.
Yeah, there you go. Not even a trip to Vikings. It's like one person at Vikings.
Yeah.
I say a trip to Vikings is a lot, because no one goes to Vikings by themselves. Right. That's like 5 Starbucks drinks. All right, that you're wasting your money on every month, by the way. What I also want to say is that I'm also going to announce a scholarship program, and it's supported by people like me and Jared. We've got people in America. Alex, I want to shout out to one of my good friends, Alex, who's actually a consultant, who already donated 5 scholarships to Pakistan and 5 wow. scholarships to the Philippines. And if you are serious about this and you are truly broke, you can apply for a scholarship where you're going to have an application form and you tell me why you're broke. No, you're going to say what you're currently doing, why you think this is important to you, how AI will either positively and or negatively impact your life, and why you deserve it.
Like an actual scholarship, like you're applying for an actual scholarship, right?
I don't want to waste other people's money on someone who's not going to take advantage of it. We have a course back end. We can see if somebody...
Yeah, you'll see the completion rate and stuff.
Yeah, if somebody goes in and doesn't complete the course or whatever, like deleting them, they're going to be on my ban list, and I'm going to give that scholarship to someone else. Like, I'm going to make sure this is done the right way, because I really want to impact and help as many people as possible, which is why I came on your show. I really believe that this is an incredible opportunity right now for people to get into the game before it's too late.
Wow. Well... That has been a lot. And yeah, so make sure to check that out, guys. Daredevilmedia.io. We'll make sure to put up the links and the coupon code Title Zone. And if you want to apply for a scholarship directly, like, we'll make sure that those details are there. That has been great. Like, as we close, just one last thing. What's one thing that, you know, you could share to people, piece of advice?
Well, I want to go back, and I'll add one more, but I want to go back to what I said in the beginning of the show, which is, dude, you need to find a mentor. Okay, five. You know, like find at least five. You know, like okay, let's say no more than five. You know, I'll give a example. Greg Reed, who had a great example of this, is it's important to have mentors that have achieved things that you want to achieve. For example, Greg, he often uses the analogy of like he loves playing tennis, and he says that he has a great tennis coach and he helps him with his backhand and everything. But the dude's been through like five divorces. So he'd never asked him for marriage advice.
Yes. Right? You wouldn't want to, right?
Right? Have mentors that are very specific to things that you want to achieve in your life that they have already achieved. Okay. And by the way, when I said I'm going to add something to it, I'm going to give you the reverse of that. Stop taking advice from losers. Stop listening to what people say, because those people, you're on the journey too, bud. And I know you've done some incredible things in your life. You know, probably have people that are super proud of you, but you'll probably have a lot of haters.
Mm. Yes, sir.
I'll tell you this from somebody who's been on both sides with haters. And it's crazy how many haters will come from your own hood and your own family. Because see, when you're climbing to the top, people are like, go, you can do it. You got it. Go Knicks, go Clemen, like let's get it, right? And they see you working hella hard and scraping your friggin' palms on the ground, climbing to the top, and you're just killing yourself trying to get there, and they see the struggle, but then there's something weird that happens when you get to the top. You're now a reminder that they could have if they did it too. And they will start trying to tear you down. And I wish I would have known more about that before I started this. Thank God my family is very supportive and stuff. So, like, I don't have to worry about my family. But, man, I will have to be honest with you. I have zero friends from my old life. All my friends now are people I work with, like JD, like Jared, people like you, my own team members. People that have been on the journey and struggle with me, the people I'm working with, even my wife, she makes fun of me, says all my friends are my clients. And it's like, yeah, that's true, because it's fun building stuff with people. And you learn a lot about someone when there's an exchange of money and you do things and you build stuff together. So that summarized my advice number two, which is be very, very selective and intentional with the relationships in your life. Mentors and those that you're building with. And if you're a leader, for those of you who might be leading stuff, you need to just imagine yourself as the dude who's like building this rocket, and you better have people that know there is no freaking eject button. You are on this rocket with me and build a ride or die team. And that's very important. And you're going to have a lot of heartache along the way, and you're going to have people that backstab you and steal and do, you know, everyone has a story, you know, boss, you know, just be prepared. You have to have a mental fortitude. You have to be successful in your mind, knowing that why you're doing something is more important than all the excuses that you're going to give, because you're going to have a lot of excuses.
Wow. Wow. Learned a lot. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast. That has been Jeff J. Hunter. Make sure to check out the AI program he's cooking up with Jared Dillinger. We'll put all the links there. And yeah, maybe our final call to actions as we wrap this up.
I want to cross one of the checklists of your advice. I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you mentor me?
I would love to, man.
Nice.
Nice.
All right,
nice.
We'll get that. Fist bump. Nice. All right. That's an actionable, you know, someone there take it action.
Hey, I like someone taking action like that.
Well, that has been it for today's episode of Title Zone. Make sure to follow us on Spotify, and there's a Q&A there. I'll still think of what to put. Make sure you answer. So actually, people answer that I'm super proud. Like, people are answering. So yeah, we always pick the best answers, like what's your biggest takeaway, and we'll feature that on the page. Make sure to follow us and support us, guys. As of this day, we are number 77 on the Spotify charts in the Philippines. Most of the people right there are like either celebrities or have been doing this for 3 years. People are asking us how we did it in 4 days. I don't know, but like it's all because of you guys. So make sure to keep supporting us, and see you again next week. Peace out.
Bye-bye. Bye.